It's Thursday, July 3rd, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our study in the book of Romans, chapter 1, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, God's Gospel of Power.
The book of Romans has a specific aim in talking about the righteousness of God. He says, what is revealed in this message, what has been revealed in this gospel, is that a righteousness comes from God and is given to you. It is the righteousness that God freely grants and credits to you to impute to you and cover you to have credited to your account the very righteousness concerning his son.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
He was spit in the face. He was put a robe of mockery was put on him. He was crucified. And then he received the most accursed death, not only of Old Testament law, but of Roman law. Explain that. Out of the gates, think of the great challenge of bringing this message into the world. Even to explain it so that people will understand it, that's not easy. How many people want to sit down first and consider? They have a great problem of what we considered tonight. You are absolutely fallen. All the desires and thoughts of your hearts are corrupt, and you need to be delivered. They branded it as stupid and foolish, the whole message. Paul would say this over and over. Yeah, we know that. We know that because God chose it to be foolishness to the world. And they said, who wants a God like that? Gods are celebrated for strength. Gods are made of marble. You can still see the Roman gods carved in marble after they died. And look at them. They're chiseled. They're powerful. You see what we're up against. Then comes this message that takes everything away from us, that says that we're totally depraved and that we do not, he's about to say, we do before this God nothing that's good that could merit eternal life. That we are sinful to the core. That we are deserving of divine judgment. That whole message is absolutely despised by human nature. There's a spiritual warfare surrounding this on top of all of this. The warfare on top of this, not only you think about our sinful nature that reacts against it, but it's Satan's chief assault in life. It's Satan's chief work to undermine and attack and assault the gospel, so much so that he fills churches with 2 Corinthians 11. All these false ministers who preach a different gospel. And Paul would have to come along and say, if anyone comes and preaches a different gospel than the one that you've received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. So, you see the great challenge to this. When we're embarrassed about something, what do we do? When we're ashamed of something, what do we do? Well, we try to take away the offense. That's been the greatest hurt to the effectiveness of ministry, I think, in our times. We think that the more we downplay the offense of the gospel, the more we downplay it, the reality is, the more we corrupt it. The less we are clear on it, listen to this, the less we are clear on it, the more we muddy it up, the more it's accepted, the more it's received. This is why the Galatians turned away from it. The church in Galatia, they turned away from the message to something that said, what you do will please God. Your human works are enough to please God. That's what every other religion has said in the world. Or Corinth. Corinth tried to dress up the gospel. Corinth wanted show. Corinth wanted powerful speech. Corinth wanted something that would attract. I was just talking with a fellow pastor. It's really amazing what we ask you to do. We ask you to come and sit and listen to a message preached. Do you know how awkward this feels at times? You don't do this anywhere else in life. And I want to encourage you, because when I see you walk up to church on Sundays, you know, I don't want to give you all the credit here, because I know it's the Lord's Spirit who's done this, but it is a remarkable work of grace in your lives that you come and you devote yourselves to this message. This is not normal. This is not normal. And I feel the great weight of that. Corinth got so obsessed with it, they got interested more in the pastor than the message. So they had celebrity worship. Corinth worried about more about how it all looked, and they wanted more power in the message. They wanted more power in the ministry. They started focusing on all the wrong things, spiritual gifts, and they were losing the gospel. We do this by dressing up worship more. I mean, you'd think we'd learn this lesson by now. Seeking less for people who come to experience the offense, we want to take away that sting. You have no idea how many people I've seen over the years who come in and never return. In 20 years of ministry, who never return precisely for this reason. It's this reason. Because they want something different from Christianity than what is being said in the gospel to them. And the method that's chosen of the strength and power of preaching. How many well-known pastors think today and teach their congregations that the music is the worship and not the message? This is what Paul's saying. I'm not ashamed. The reason is, it's because it is. The message preached is the power of God. Listen to this. To save those who believe. That is a striking claim. That is a radical claim. That is a claim I hope that is not lost on you for hearing this so often. Paul was relentless in the face of these pressures to continue proclaiming the message in his ministry. At one point, even saying, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I call down prophetic curses on myself, like Isaiah in the presence of God, if I don't devote myself to making this the center of my ministry, the center of what I'm trying to accomplish, what I want to bring to people." Chad Vegas gave really good two talks at the Dindol lectures this week at Westminster, and you know we're working to bring Sovereign Grace and Chad, the church, into the United Reformed Churches, and I thought there were such helpful talks over there. But he made a quote by James Denny that I'd like to use here for a minute. "When men are suffering for cowardice, they are compelled to become diplomats and strategists rather than heralds. They manipulate their message, they adapt to the spirit of the time, they cowardly minister, contriving to put something between his hearers and the gospel." Who is that? Himself. So they move to becoming winsome. At the root of it, he says, is a vicious protection of themselves. The minister and the one giving this message, when he stands between the people and the gospel, is trying to protect himself. Shepherds who fatten themselves upon the sheep because they're afraid of loss. They're afraid of, when they preach this today that is so radical in the church. I mean, I see ads for churches for Easter coming up now. And I just saw one of Pastor John and Pastor Margaret, and they're both standing up and they're saying, "Come to the Easter service. We've got Easter egg hunts for the kids. It's going to be a great fun time. We're going to get together and have a blast. It's going to be lots of activities. It's going to be a great message." And they stood between it already. They've stood between it already. when Christ is diminished, all because we're fearing what we will lose, and so we have to come across as soft and nice. I want to be nice. But Paul's talking about a lack of courage to retract from preaching Christ, to give himself to the devotion of preaching Christ. This is why Paul says, I count all things loss. If it's the loss of a paycheck, then it's a loss of a paycheck. If it's a loss of a job, it's a loss of a job. If it's a loss of my life, it's a loss of my life. Because this is God's power to save. You see? He believed that with all his heart. He believed in the powerful proclamation of the gospel that's foolishness to everyone else. And God made that so, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us when people do believe it. I've said this over and over, brothers and sisters. This is why we put so much primacy on preaching. Not just preaching, but preaching the gospel. As God's power for you and your children to be saved. That includes your children. For some reason we have fought this. It's a hard concept for us. I think it's hard for us because of what we're dealing with still struggling with the old man and the natural man's heart. The reason Paul said this is precisely because, listen to this statement, it is God's chosen effectual means to save you. Our attitude might be that we know this, and nothing could be further from the truth. You have no idea how polluted your lives are every week and how much you need to be refreshed in this and how it is the strength that upholds you. It's like drinking from that well of living water that Jesus was talking about to the woman at the well. That's a well that continues to spring up fresh. Fresh in your lives, fresh in that truth, fresh to wash, fresh to give you the truth that sets you free. Until we appreciate this, we will always struggle with this. And that's why this is why the provision the gospel makes for us is so important tonight to close on. Think about this. I'm not ashamed. Why am I not ashamed? How is this the power of God for salvation? How is it? How is this the power? For the Jew and for the Greek, for the order that's important. They received all the promises, and it's for them in order first, and then it goes out to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth. It's for all. What does he say? Because what's being ministered to you is righteousness. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed and is made known to you from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's the heart of it. Here's what's been given to you in this message preached. We've called this a means of grace for a long time. It's a hard concept to let set in, but it's so beautiful once you finally grasp it and understand it in your life for you and your families and your loved ones. Notice carefully, righteousness. We've been looking at Christ's words in the Sermon on the Mount. It said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There I've made the case that he's speaking of the peculiar Christian character in the Christian life that has to exceed the external hypocritical religion of the scribes and the Pharisees. But here, Paul's not speaking of that. When the gospel is preached to you, the book of Romans has a specific aim in talking about the righteousness of God. He says, what is revealed in this message, what has been revealed in this gospel, is that a righteousness comes from God and is given to you. It is the righteousness that God freely grants and credits to you to impute to you and cover you to have credited to your account the very righteousness concerning his son. This is what you need in life most. If we believe what we believe about sin, and we believe that God's judgment is very severe, and we believe that we have all been, what he's about to say in Romans 6, guilty, and that the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. And that's question 60 of our Heidelberg. How then are we right with God? It's only by true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all of God's commandments, and I've never kept any of them, and I'm still inclined toward all evil, notwithstanding, here's what God did. God, without any merit of my own, but out of free grace. Listen to it. Free grace. Grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Even so, as if I had never nor committed any sin, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, as much as I embrace that benefit with a believing heart. That's what we're talking about here in the book of Romans. I am so committed to this message as the heart of everything that I'm aiming for. Doesn't mean we don't talk about application. Doesn't mean we don't talk about how to live the Christian life. We're talking about first things. We're talking about the aim of Christian ministry. We're talking about the goal of Christian ministry. It is to reveal the righteousness of God in Christ to you. It is to give that to you. What a God. What a God. He wants to give you the greatest gift he could give through this message. That even though your sins are like Mount Everest, you'll never make it before him on your own. You'll never be able to stand before him on your own. God did the most overwhelming thing. He said, I'll do it. I'll give my son. And my son will fulfill all righteousness for them. And the son says, Father, I'll gladly do it for them because I love them. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a burning stick snatched from the fire? And Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel, and the angel said, take those clothes off him. Then he said to Joshua, see, I've taken away all your sin, and I've put fine garments on you. Like that prodigal son who came home, and the father threw that coat around him. Paul says, the righteousness of God that is received and comes by faith. You don't have to work for this. Believe it. Believe it. The just live by faith. That's been preached throughout the Old Testament. Meaning this righteousness is given to you and is imputed to you by faith when you believe. And that is from faith to faith. That is from the beginning all the way to the end, until you walk into glory. You have everything you need. And Paul says, I'm committed to that. If I have to die for that, I'll die for that. With all these pressures to make this superficial, try to be winsome and get people to like it, I renounce all that hidden stuff of shame. It's absolutely foolish, but it is the power of God to save. Paul wanted them to appreciate that even though it's hated by the world, even though we'll be ridiculed for it, even though it will never be popular, I will give my whole life to continue without shame, making this the priority of my ministry to you. So I have one question tonight to close, one question. If this is what God put in the heart of pastors who rise up early and who write sermons, it's painstaking work, and he put it in their hearts to want to give you joy in this life, to give you the law, like Jesus did, to search the heart and show what your standing is before God, but then to give you Christ so that you would live in the joy of this comfort and be a happy, joyful people. If the runners are running to you, if God has put this in your life, think of all the faithful ministries here. I have a question. Do you have as much zeal and do you have as much joy to receive it by faith? Every time it's preached to you. That's what God loves. It is the power of God for you and your children to save you. Why in the world would you ever want anything different for the sake of making us more acceptable to the world? Believe this gospel. God has made it to be foolishness to the world. That's what it always will be to the world. But he's chosen to save you through it. So let us have believing hearts, anticipating Romans 10. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever believes in his heart that God raised his son from the dead and confesses with the mouth that great truth and believes that in the heart, think about today, Sermon on the Mount, believes it in the heart, that person will, without any measure of a doubt, be saved. And that's what Paul wants you to enjoy in this life. What a wonderful God we serve. Let's praise him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your care in our lives to announce this gospel, to send preachers. We have so many in the midst right now training to be this. Bless them. And we pray, O Lord, that you continue this great work. Give us confidence in this. And help us, O Lord, to move from the superficiality or from even us standing in the way, especially the pastors, so that this pure truth, this great news, this good news, in a world that offers us none, can sound out from this place. And may we always have confidence that this is your power to save as you minister to us the very righteousness of your Son. We bless you and may we go in this strength this week in Jesus' name.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you joined us. We hope to see you again next time as we continue our series in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.